Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio with hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. It all continues now, hour one of the can, hour two. We are indeed live. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January 12th in the year of our Lord, 2015. It's hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founders. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution to the United States of America as our guide, which means the checks and balances wisely put in place, inspired by the Almighty, by our brilliant founders. That's the answer. Never revolution, but always restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. You had a story about New Jersey's Montclair, Kurt. It's a school over there, huh?
You know, it's amazing to see the different things that are in the news. You know, New Jersey, at least one of the main things I like to see about them lately is their whole, I guess you could say, waking up about high taxes. And in this case, you remember that story where a Mercedes cruised from New Jersey, right?
Yeah, they moved their headquarters away from New Jersey to one of the southern states, right?
Well, you know, to Georgia, if I remember right, Atlanta, you know, just because a high cost of doing business. Well, they're in New Jersey, Sam. They just spent $210,000 on some kind of a statue to raise school spirit. Now, this is a statue of a hawk, I guess they say. But, you know, it's just an example of, and Montclair State is some kind of a, you know, state-owned university.
That's why they got to have such high taxes to pay for all that shenanigans, right?
But that's the point, at least to me. You know, it's so different. Let's say it's a private school and they decide to put up something. You know, it's a different story. But when you force people to pay, whether it's $210,000 on a statue of a hawk or whatever else government forces people to do, at least the good news is maybe there's some places where you're not forced to pay so much, like Mercedes when they moved to Georgia. You know, that's what they did.
There's going to be a big showdown between Mitt Romney and Jeb Bush. Yeah, it's going to be a showdown of epic proportions, ladies and gentlemen. You and I are going to sit on the sidelines. But Laura Ingraham's not even confident in that, Kurt. She's pretty negative, isn't she?
Well, you know, she basically is just saying that, hey, like Huckabee, for example, she's just saying that these conservative Christians, they just don't have a shot at the White House. She says she likes the former Fox host, Mike Huckabee. I find it always interesting. You can't be on TV if you're running for office. But then, of course, the TV program who likes, let's say, Jeb Bush or Romney or Hillary, they can have them on as a guest. They can put them on, you know, news stories about them ad nauseum, and that's okay. But then if, somebody who's running is a host, then, we can't do that because we couldn't,
Yeah, the problem is, Kurt, there's
fairness
laws
in the media.
I know it sounds crazy, but there literally are laws, and the reason that the media won't do it is because they get all kinds of fines and penalties and manipulated. In other words, if you have a host on, then you have to grant equal time to other politicians or give politicians the same kind of access at certain costs to the point where you don't dare do it or you'll just be in a big old battle.
I know, but don't you see a, what would you say?
Double standard? You know, absolutely. A manipulated circumstance to grandfather those who they want to get the promotion and reject those who don't without question.
Yeah. I mean, because, any program that wants to could basically, schedule Hillary almost every other day as a, quote, guest. And that would be okay,
Yeah, I'm not defending the practice. I'm just telling you why media outlets are paranoid to do it.
I understand.
And what ramifications come of it. I'm not suggesting that it's right or that it's acceptable at all. In fact, we need to do something to have the new media take center stage and upset that whole apple cart, if you ask my opinion.
Yep. Yep. You're exactly
But I'm
right.
just telling you what the media is afraid of and stuff like that. And that's why I say, you know, if you don't, let me give you an example. If you're Fox and you keep Huckabee, then the drumbeat against Fox will be so loud that there will be no other news until Fox caves.
Yeah, isn't that incredible?
Oh, it's absolutely damaging to the freedoms we have. It's absolutely an assault on our liberties. There's no question about that. And you would say, Sam, well, it's not fair any other way. Mm-hmm. And my response is, okay, like this is fair? Okay, you have Bill Clinton, who was a no-name buddy. No one even knew who he was.
Yep.
Then he launched onto the national stage with the help of the mainstream press, okay? Mm-hmm. Then he got caught up in sex after sex after sex scandal. And then he got caught up in even drug running discussions as the governor of Arkansas, as basically a hostile control freak. And then, hey, they just worked out a way to schedule him on 60 Minutes, put him and his lovely wife on, and talked about how incredible marriage they had, how they were nobodies. Bill came from a single mother, and, you know, he was virtually poor. And by golly, anybody can be president. I mean, it's the American dream, and Bill's living it, and you should support Bill and his lovely wife and their wonderful daughter, Chelsea, and living the American dream. And by golly, he was a nobody, kind of a hippie in college, but, man, he studied hard, Kurt, and look who he has become now. And he's the governor of a very conservative state, and therefore you ought to elect Bill. And I'm telling you, they absolutely changed the narrative. Now, if somebody running against him would have been a host, they would have had to give up their position.
That's exactly right. And Jimmy Carter was the same kind of picture, and so was Barack Obama. You know, both of them were just brought up, and the media can make them or break them.
That's exactly right.
As you always say.
And they manipulate it to the point of where, you know, we've got to do something about it. The question is, what do you do about it? Until you get enough media, you can't even have a big enough say, though, to be effective. It's kind of like third parties. I love them, Kurt. I think they're right on the issues. I think they're valuable. I think they change the game. But they don't have enough wherewithal to, at least at this point, change the game and have a discussion. The only way is for us to put enough money where our mouth is to really get involved in a big way. I mean, I just heard some other people telling me that National Public Radio, or NPR, backed by your government, did you know they're on over 900 stations, Kurt? Virtually, they got one of the biggest networks, bigger than anybody. When you hear about all the big networks, all you hear about is like Clear Channel or some of the private ones. But you don't realize this government, this NPR one, is bigger than all of them, Kurt.
That's a great
900 point, plus radio stations.
And they typically, you know, you'll find them on the FM dial below, what is it, 92, you know, wherever you are. You can just basically,
and they come in booming, clear sounding, nice sounding, great radio anywhere you are. You can't get your favorite talk show host, but you could sure get that. And I'm not downing that more so than a lot of the mainstream private sector organizations, because they're all in bed together in many ways. I mean, look, Clear Channel has more grandfathered radio stations with increased power with big corporations in bed with government. So, you know, it's hard to say who's your more friendly. But it's interesting that Laura Ingraham, one of the big talkers, mainstream press, basically says, hey, conservative Christians flat out don't have a shot at the White House. If that's not telling, Kurt, I don't know what is. All right. You've also got a story about this underground and on rooftops, farmhouses, big cities, everywhere.
Well,
huh?
Now,
I'm
going to
grab Joel Skousen while you cover this, by the way.
Okay. Now, this, in my opinion, is a piece of good news. You know, we get told, hey, you know, here's what happens. We got all these people. So then we're basically going to have not enough food because we're getting rid of farmland and, you know, too many people on the earth. It's just a bunch of baloney, because the fact is, you know, people can literally grow things in their little windows, you know, like in this story, they call this group Zero Carbon Food. And they say they started farming in an abandoned World War II bomb shelter a little while back. And the bottom line is, say in these big cities, they stick right up on the roof where they've got the nice old solar, hitting right there. But they stick these rooftop farms up there, and they're doing a lot of growing of food right there close to where it needs to be consumed. And to me, it's a perfect example of, I guess you could say, the right things that we need today. Whereas typical media likes to tell us that, hey, man, you know, every time another baby's born, the planet's worse off. We're just going to be in trouble. Well, the fact is, if we use these things like these LED lights, you know, different things, different crystals or different ways of growing, there's huge amounts of food that can be grown in the areas that we already have.
Joel Skousen, welcome to the Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Thank you, Sam. It's good to be with you.
Man, there's so many things to talk about. I want to start about talking about this big bank manipulation of investment and prices issue, because I think this is critical right now when gas is going to all-time low, oil at lows. On the other hand, the stock market continues to go up. You see articles and newspapers everywhere saying, hey, the economy has recovered, your home prices are back, everybody's getting jobs, unemployment rate's going down. Man, the world's just all good, Joel.
Well, actually, you know, there is a split economy. There is the restaurants are still full, and so are the movie houses, and there's a lot of people with money out there. And in the investment world as well, there's a tremendous amount of money, which is new money generally, coming out through the big banks, the big investment companies, the big military-industrial complex, which does have a lot of money. And wherever, if you're in the downstream of that, you've got a lot of money, and there is inflation going on, as well as deflationary forces with the people that don't have jobs.
Now, it's kind of interesting, though, because it's really giving us the illusion that there's a lot there with the manipulations of the prices and everything else. I mean, I even feel richer now that I can fill up my tank, and it's not near as expensive.
Well, and that is real. I mean, deflation is a positive. When you have prices coming down, this is the way that it should. I mean, that's the way it's been with electronics over the years, and now it's that way with oil. You know, there's a big debate now going on whether or not Saudi Arabia is, you know, on purpose trying to push the oil price down in order to squeeze out the shale oil suppliers in the United States, which aren't government controlled. I'm really not buying that so much because, you know, Russia is really hurting with the fall of the ruble over 50%, and yet they haven't cut production as well. I mean, if they aren't cutting production to hold their own or do their part in supporting the price of oil, then it looks to me like basically they need all the money they can get. They can't afford to cut production because the prices are going to stay low even if they cut production for a while. And all of these OPEC countries, in fact, need at least $100 a barrel of oil in order to handle their current budgets. And Venezuela, of course, is just in a free fall because of its, you know, having to inflate. Inflation's over 60 to 70% in Venezuela, shortages of products that just can't get any credit anymore. That country's in trouble because of the socialism that they put in. You know, not because of lack of oil.
What do you think the end game is going to be with this pushing the oil price down, 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 down? Many are saying, you know what, you can get gas in certain states now for $1.75 a gallon, and they say it's going to even go lower.
Well, I'm planning on stocking up. You know, we have never had this kind of a drop, you know, in the past, you know, 7 or 8 years that gives us the chance, those of us who believe in storing fuel and things, to stock up. Now, I realize it's hard to store gasoline. And diesel has not come down as fast, and that's because they're still exporting as much of our diesel fuel as they can to Europe, where the prices are still a lot higher. There's supposed to be export controls on petroleum in the United States, but, boy, I don't see them being used. This is a fairly highly manipulated diesel market. Diesel should always be cheaper than gasoline because it is cheaper to refine. And yet, because we have been, you know, supplying Europe instead of our own customers, and I think doing some other things in the automotive industry, especially California, of raising the sulfur levels or the lowering the sulfur levels, the required levels, to just incredibly ridiculous extent. It's just keeping diesel vehicles out of this country, and I think that's been done on purpose.
There's no question about it. It's also fascinating. There's the big debate about the oil pipeline, and on one hand, everybody's like, hey, let's let the free market happen. Let's tap into this energy. But a lot of people say what'll happen is they'll just take a lot of this oil from Canada, bring it on down to the Gulf of Mexico, then refine it, export it, and we won't even get a piece of it anyway. Why do the pipeline? What's your take? Do you think they'll pass
that's
it?
That's what I'm the one who's been promoting that point of view. This is not for U.S. consumption. This is part of a globalist, feed Europe consumption, and isn't going to help us at all, and except for the few pipeline jobs. But, you know, there already is a Keystone pipeline, and it goes horizontal to Canada, and then it comes straight south, and they want to cut the corner on that. That's with this particular pipeline. But there's an awful lot of land that gets confiscated by eminent domain in one of these pipeline deals. And in terms of property rights, I'm against it. But I think this is strictly a globalist move. It has nothing to do with increasing U.S. Supplies of fuel.
In other words, they have an agenda to control energy, and they're not going to allow anything that really gives us back or gives the states the autonomy to take on the feds on anything. They're not going to allow that to happen.
Well, it's interesting to note as well that the United States is still demanding that oil companies keep certain reserves off the market, like the Lindsey Williams talked years ago about the Gull Island reserve, as big as Saudi Arabian reserves up there in the Arctic, and it's still capped. It was developed, it's drilled, it's ready to go, and federal government required that ARCO cap that to keep it off the market. And I think the real purpose is to reserve American oil supplies for when this World War III scenario comes up, because we won't have any access to foreign oil when that comes. And so I think they want us to, reserve, not, because they're really trying to help us, but because they obviously, even they're going to provoke this war, they want to win the war in the name of globalism so that they can continue, and they need oil supplies. But I think the fracking, caught them by surprise. Nobody really expected this to produce the kind of oil that it is, and it's not government controlled. This is the one country the government doesn't determine how much oil you produce. It's done by free market things. I mean, they can do it in the long term by using the EPA to stop oil exploration, just like they're trying to shut down coal as a viable source. But in any case, what I'm saying is that ultimately, the manipulation of the oil markets, were restrictive in their nature, and now the floodgates are open, mostly because of U.S. independent production.
And I've been saying it doesn't really matter what their agenda is. The fact is, it leaves more money in my pocket, which on the short term is a good thing for sure.
Yeah, and what it does prove, is there's plenty of oil, and it's not fossil fuel oil. There's no way you would have to produce this much oil that's been taken out of the ground. You'd have to have carcasses of, organic material 19 miles high, 19 miles wide, and 19 miles square. And there's just no way that there's ever produced that amount of carcasses in the entire world, let alone to have gotten, down miles and miles under the sea. And
yeah, now you get Jerome Corsi's book that kind of speaks to that quite well.
And I'm not familiar with that. What was that about?
I can't remember the name of it, Kurt. Maybe you can find that real quick. But Jerome Corsi wrote a book about oil, basically saying, hey, this idea that it's fossil fuel is bogus, and that the mantle of the earth actually has the ability to create more oil, and we're not about to run out of it anytime soon, ladies and gentlemen. That's a myth. And it's a big lie that they've used for control for quite some time. Anyway, very interesting for sure.
Yeah, I agree with that, Bob. I agree with that very much.
All right, what do you think about this idea that the big battle for Boehner, now the punishment's come?
Well, obviously it shows that John Boehner is not on our side. For him to view, and we have statements that I quoted in the World Affairs Brief about the Republican establishment, the staffers of the Republican National Committee, as well as Boehner staffers, viewing constitutional conservatives that would dare vote against him as the real enemy, the real problem. I mean, I think they were talking about hardcore leftists, but they're not. They're talking about you and I. We are the enemy. I was really surprised that so many of the freshmen that got elected to Congress, like Mia Love here in Utah, that voted for Boehner, and these people are not going to be strong constitutional conservatives, strong people to stand up. They're scared out of their wits about about going up to big Washington and getting the proper committee assignments, and they can hold these things over their head. And so Boehner, of course, has cut those two that ran against him off their major committee assignments, and they're going to be more retaliation now that the conservatives in the Republican are saying to Boehner, hey, let's not take retaliatory measures. And they're coming out against them and saying, you better shut up and toe the line, or we'll take retaliatory measures against you. So this is a real eye-opener, should be anyway, for conservatives who think that we're going to return back to constitutional government through the Republicans. It's not going to happen. We've already given away the farm on the immigration issue. We've already given it away on Obamacare through this Cromnibus bill. And, you know, the battle is over. We're not going to win it back.
Well, and the big battle now is between so-called Jeb Bush and Mitt Romney on the Republican ticket. I mean, that's what they've got going, the battle's on.
Well, you know, it's interesting that Mitt Romney is getting back into the battle. First of all, I don't think that Hillary Clinton is going to win. She's going, you know, this whole scandal about Bill Clinton being involved in the Jerry Epstein underage girl sex slave scandal. He was a frequent visitor to his sex palace down there in the Caribbean, and we know that Bill Clinton doesn't use any self-control when it comes to those sexual matters. So, you know, Hillary is just hopping mad, apparently, because this really looks bad for her. Now, she's got a lot of skeletons in her closets, too. They have been living together as man and wife for a long time, and the Secret Service covers up for all of his, you know, professional paid women that come into him. And that's really a shame that, you know, we're protecting the president with taxpayer money, and we're acting as pimps for it, making sure that, you know, the press isn't around and that Hillary isn't around when his women come to visit his house. And Hillary has her own, you know, moral skeletons in the closet and financial ones. But she's really hopping mad. There was a big dust-up at the funeral of Mario Cuomo, where she snubbed, you know, Bill and just walked past him with a huff because to give him a message, hey, you're ruining my chances for a presidential career. But I don't think she's going to win. I think the establishment knows there's a major backlash against Obama and the Democrats, as is shown by this recent election, midterm election results that got sabotaged by our own Republicans under John Boehner and Mitch McConnell. But they're still going to continue to sabotage the resistance movement by giving us a Republican.
All right. Do you think that they're going to...
It won't be Mitt Romney.
They're going to put somebody up on the Democratic side that'll win the primary against Hillary, or do you think she'll be the candidate, just not the winner?
No, she'll be the candidate. I think they'd like Hillary to lose.
All right, so you think that they'll let Hillary be the candidate, she'll win the Democratic primary, and then she'll basically be the candidate that loses to a Republican.
That's right, and I think they wanted her to lose because basically, you know, they don't like Hillary, even though she's part of the establishment. She would actually try to run the presidency, and they like reliable puppets like Obama, not Hillary. She didn't do a good job as the Secretary of State, had a lot of problems there.
Yeah, she doesn't obey well enough, that's for sure. All right, quick pause, ladies and gentlemen. Joel Skousen with us, worldaffairsbrief.com. Commentary on a troubled world in your inbox every Friday. Check it out today, worldaffairsbrief.com. Joel Skousen in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0-degree sleeping bag. This comfortable, family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now's the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3666. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free. F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Clinton scandal surfaces again, ladies and gentlemen. One of the headlines from worldaffairsbrief.com. Joel Skousen with us on the line. So Bill keeps ruining Hillary's chances. Joel Skousen believes that Hillary will be the candidate for the Democrats, but will lose to a Republican. It will not be Romney. I don't know if Romney's just in there to muddy the waters. They have this pattern they had last go around, Joel Skousen, where they'd run a Republican, flash in the pan, oh, golly, doesn't have the support they thought. Then they'd run the next one, put, wow, flash in the pan, that didn't work out. And then they eventually pushed for who they wanted, holding them kind of in the wings, letting the flash in the pan folks get all the attention to try to protect the candidate till close to the end. Are they going to do the same thing with the gazillion candidates, you think?
Well, I think there will. There will be a whole roster that got ready to throw at the Republican nomination. You know, they first of all would like to have Chris Christie, you know, be their candidate. He's the same caliber of individual, poor caliber, hidden, phony conservative caliber like Rudolph Giuliani that they tried to foist on us in 2008, which didn't work. But it's interesting. I think Romney is coming back into the race just because he basically doesn't like anyone. He realizes that there's a tremendous amount of remorse on the part of the voters for voting against him, that he, if he were to run against Obama, he would win hands down, and those kind of polling results are encouraging to run again. But the establishment is not going to let that happen, in my opinion, because they don't want someone who's non-controlled in the White House. He would see too much. You know, as much as Romney tries to bend over backwards to please the establishment, he would do so again. I mean, look, Romney went out and endorsed Chris Christie. How dumb can you get?
The other problem with Romney, though, is that I think he just might even have an ego enough to say, you know what, I should run again. I'm the man. I can fix everything. I fixed the Olympics. I can do this.
I don't think he's being put up in any way by the establishment. They basically plastered all over the headline, he's not running, and, you know, and never going to run again. He's out of the picture. And three-time loser, you know.
Well, and by running again now, after being a three-time loser and then running again now, basically makes him a flip-flopper. It just kind of puts that idea in your mind. But they're going to use it. They're going to use the Rand Pauls, the Ted Cruzes, the Ben Carsons, the Mitt Romneys, the Chris Christies, the Rick who knows who's, and everybody, and they're just going to run all these people, and then they're going to emerge their candidate They're hoping that even Mike Huckabee's thinking about tossing in. You got this scenario, though, where they want to make short work of it to try to anoint their candidate early, though, don't they?
That's right, and that's why there's clearly been a push to promote Jeb Bush early, to get him out of the gate early, as you know, and so he's probably their second choice to Chris Christie. But the after the midterm election, the Republicans are much more conservative right now and in the mood, and so it's going to be a tough battle. And they're going to probably have to work hard to defeat Mitt Romney if he actually formally throws his hat in the ring, just because there isn't a lot of enthusiasm, in my opinion, for Bush. And Rand Paul, of course, is the real one that they're worried about, because Rand Paul, you know, even though I'm concerned about his tendency to compromise with Mitch McConnell and others, nevertheless, he does have the background and the smarts and the charisma to do something different. Mitt Romney will not do anything different than the establishment. He'll have every establishment position that there is, but they don't want him because he's
Your proof in the pudding is Romney could have taken Benghazi to the bank and slammed Barack and really made heyday out of the truth of that thing, but he backed down and wimped out, didn't have the guts to do it then, which just proves he won't in the future.
That's right. That's right. But as I say, they don't want somebody that they don't have dirt on. They have to be able to control the president because they're going to see a lot going on in the White House. They have the power to get the information, to expose it. I think they would have trouble with Romney if he had been in the White House when Benghazi went down.
What if they make a power play like, you know what, Romney, we think you can be the man, brother, as long as you take on Jeb Bush. It'll be like a Reagan scenario almost, huh?
You know, they only make those types of things if, in fact, they push through and win the nomination. They didn't do that with Romney. I think they decided, we've really got to make sure he doesn't get in. I don't know. It's complex.
Now, Laura Ingraham says, hey, Christians, you don't have a shot at the White House. Forget it.
And what's her point?
She's just saying that Christians don't have a shot. They don't have a chance.
Well, I mean, Jeb Bush is a Christian. Mitt Romney's a Christian. You know, all of the candidates are going to be Christian. I mean, it's what does she mean? She means our type of Christian?
Well, I don't know what she means. She doesn't. It's not a whole lot clarified. Kurt, you want to chime in on this? She basically just says a Christian won't make it. So I assume you're going to have to get Christie or somebody who's not near Christian as Christian, if you will.
Yeah, she's mostly talking about Huckabee when he's, at least he's, quote, the Christian's Christian, I guess you'd call it, simply because of pastor type, idea.
Yeah, you could be a Chris Christie or a Jeb Bush. You're not really Christian. I mean, you might have that kind of in your background, but you're not really a Christian leader, so to speak, per se. Time will tell. Well, so who do you think will end up being the winner? Anybody?
You know, I really don't know at this time. But it is going to be exactly as you pointed out. There's going to be one candidate thrown into the mix at all, if none of them are winning, trying to defeat Mitt Romney. And it's just hard to say. Right now, they're all weaker right now than Mitt Romney. And so we may have a rerun.
Except for Jeb Bush. Do you think Jeb Bush is weaker?
I think he's still weaker than Mitt Romney.
All right. What about a Chris Christie? Still weaker?
Yes, yeah. He's been fairly well damaged. It's really going to play on how the media plays this. I mean, boy, Chris Christie has, a cherubic face. He can come out and say the right things. He's a real squirrely individual. But he does have a certain amount of charisma. His obesity is a problem, though. People innately distrust overweight, high-powered, obese people. And he's got that going. I mean, look, Mitt Romney's got a chiseled look. He's well-spoken. He would literally slaughter Hillary Clinton, and they really can't have that. So this is going to be a tough go for this segment. They've got to have somebody who's got some charisma that they can control. And Jeb Bush is just, not a heavyweight. He's a little bit.
What about old Ben Carson?
No, I don't think Ben Carson is going to make it you know, my problem with Ben Carson is he was literally silent as a conservative. Otherwise, he wouldn't have ever gotten invited to speak in front of Obama at the White House. I mean, sure, he did take his jab there, and he. But, you know, where was he all the decades? You know, he'd never been in the fight. So I'm worried here that we've got a person like Herman Cain who suddenly comes out of nowhere that has a fairly establishment background saying the right things. Now, I think Ben Carson is sincere, but I just don't think he's ever been ideologically in the battle, and that you know, he sees this more of an opportunity now. He's probably a good conservative, but you know, they're not going to want him either, because I don't think he's corrupt and I don't think he's controlled. Herman Cain was corrupt.
Yeah, now Ben Carson's not solid on the right to keep and bear arms issue either, is he?
No, he isn't. That's correct.
So, you know, by the time you put Chris Christie and Mitt Romney and Ben Carson and all the Jeb Bush and those guys together, hey, the other one is a Rand Paul. Ted Cruz is not constitutionally qualified, right?
Where was he born?
Oh, I don't know. He was a Canadian citizen, though.
Oh, is he? Okay, yeah. Well, that solves that then. But in any case, you know, I think Rand Paul is going to be the one to beat for the establishment. And Mitt Romney. It's going to be kind of a rerun there.
Do you expect any of these candidates to create some kind of an alliance, a Chris Christie-Romney alliance, or Bush Christie, or Rand Paul and Romney, or Rand Paul
no,
and
no.
anybody well, get together?
Rand Paul, that's an interesting point. I mean, clearly, it could at some compromise level, you know, talk about a vice president slot. Huckabee's in there, by the way, I think, to also diffuse the Romney enthusiasm as well. They've got to bring Huckabee back in to take away or siphon away the fundamentalist Christian vote, and that's what Laura Ingraham is going out of. You know, she doesn't consider Mitt Romney a Christian. Got that typical flawed evangelical point of view that Mormons aren't Christian. And so I think Huckabee's coming up because the powers that be know that Romney's in. And that's the old play they did in 2008 and 2012. They throw Huckabee in the ring in order to stop Romney. And that's one of the major issues.
Because what if you put a Rand Paul Mike Huckabee together? You get the Christian vote. You get a lot of the libertarians and conservative votes. You know, I don't know.
Well, you got to remember that Huckabee's a controlled entity. He really compromised as a governor. I don't trust him as far as I could throw him.
I'm not suggesting it would be something I would back. I'm just suggesting I wouldn't be surprised if somebody gets together somewhere to try to bolster themselves above the pack.
Well, you've got to remember that the only independents in here are Mitt Romney, which they have to control again if he's going to run. Rand Paul is an independent. He isn't in the race. Because the powers that be are putting them, Huckabee's controlled, Bush is controlled, everyone else they'll throw in the race, including Chris Christie, is controlled. So the only two that they have to watch out for are the independents, and they would tend to try, you know, like Mitt Romney and Rand Paul would try to make a deal with Huckabee, but you see, because Huckabee, Bush, and Chris Christie are controlled, I'm not sure that they would make such a deal unless Romney or Rand Paul won the thing, and then you'd see them quickly going in like George H.W. Bush to make a deal for vice president so that they could control.
What if you put together a Mitt Romney-Ben Carson ticket?
Yeah, I think Ben Carson's also an independent. I should have added that to the list.
And I bring that up because if you got a Mitt Romney and a Ben Carson, you get the black vote now, you get the conservatives and the businessmen vote, you get the Republicans that solidly, in other words, Ben Carson's not so right extremist, neither is Romney, but yet there'd be enough right to be, you know, hey, Ben Carson's considered a good Christian man, and you'd get that vote. You might really cut a swath there.
Yeah, you might have something there, Sam. That might be very much a winning ticket. You know?
I'm not saying they could win. It's so controlled. I'm not suggesting they could win necessarily. What I am suggesting is I'm telling you, watch for an alliance like that and remember who told you first. All right, there's protester signs being printed by who, Joel?
Well, you know, in the police protest movement, you know, supporting Damien and others ended up being printed by RevCom. RevInc.com or something? Anyway, it ends up being the Revolutionary Communist Party. And so, you know, we have to...
In America, that's the same as the Communist USA Party, right?
No, it isn't.
It's not. Okay.
No, it's not different. This is an even more radical iteration.
So it is different,
of the Communist Party, yeah.
Okay.
It is different. But it's still got money from the KGB and Russia.
Okay.
Just like the American Communist Party. And like RT and all, I covered a couple of weeks ago, all the new pro-Russian, RussiaInsider.com and RT and Sputnik News. These are very top-of-the-line, slick news services coming out.
Yeah, we were actually in Russia Today Studios the other day.
Were you?
Yeah, in Washington, D.C., man. We went in there and talked to some people in there and actually did some interview with some black people about their kids getting murdered by cops and stuff. Kind of an interesting twist. I'm not suggesting that they're our friends, although they do a lot of better reporting than many of the American news outlets, but we got to be very careful with who we make alliances with, Joel.
That's right. This is the point I'm making, is that RT is playing to the conservatives. They're playing to the conspiracy movement. They have given a lot of press to the 9/11 movement. The purpose is not because they're trying to defend liberty. They're not the champion anti-globalists. They think they are competing globalists, or the Russian version of globalism. And so they want to foment conflict. That's what RevCom is printing signs. And for, you know, the globalists are out there in Paris printing signs about "We are all Charlie now." You know, whenever you have millions of signs printed, somebody's paying for that printing. And they've got a motive. And believe me, this was really, I'm sure you covered that probably in the first hour. That's why you didn't cover it here with me. But this Charlie Hebdo attack was a false flag operation, and the 3 to 4 million man march, I mean, you don't have those things happen spontaneously. This was engineered across the public media by government with their many plants, saying everybody, you know, turn out. Whenever you have the leaders of all of the globalist nations marching arm in arm, then you know this is a globalist agenda that they're taking advantage of. And now we found out, of course, today that, and this is one of the biggest points that points to it being a false flag operation of this, the killing of this editorial newspaper staff, is that one of the shooters was in Yemen with the crotch bomber and staying in the same apartment with him. What that means, of course, is we know the crotch bomber was a government plant. That doesn't mean that he really may or may not have realized it, but it was a government operation. They had an Indian, well-dressed Indian person from India, get him on the plane without a visa, without a passport. And so, in other words, this particular French operation came out of the same cell, which is Western intelligence controlled in Yemen. And the CIA knew that, of course. That's why the CIA told Congress the other day that there was a terrorist connection with this Charlie Hebdo shooting because of Yemen. How would they know that unless they were, in fact, involved in this Yemen group? And now we know that they are, because that's where the crotch bomber came out of. And it's a pure government operation in order to have everyone remove their shoes and belts and undergo these TSA searches.
And what do you think the agenda is here, to push for more gun control? Do you think the issue is to shut down and make the press paranoid to report? What all the above?
Well, the agenda is to, that came out today, for example, that ISIS took credit for, you know, one of the shooters saying, "This is our man," and we know that ISIS is the U.S. intelligence operation. And so this is clearly a government operation. And what has come out? I read an article this morning in Haaretz of the Jewish newspaper about why French intelligence failed, and it was just a litany of they don't want to have a Patriot Act, they don't have the laws to, you know, surveil, they need the more resources in there, they need to shut down more independent liberty rights. And right there at the bottom of the article says it's right there set to be to go before the French Parliament, a French Patriot Act. And so this is the 9/11 of Europe. This is the 9/11 of France. This is to get France all motivated out of its own anti-terrorist legislation and to beef up and delineate, you know, the diminution of civil rights in France.
All right, just to circle back really quick, Kurt has the information about Jerome Corsi's book. It's called Black Gold Stranglehold. Kurt, you want to update us real quick?
Yeah, it was just interesting, and, you know, you brought it up about how the it's not the dinosaurs that are, providing this oil, but in his book, Black Gold Stranglehold, Jerome Corsi, along with Craig R. Smith, they exposed the fraudulent science that's been sold to the American people in order to enslave them. That belief that oil is a fossil fuel and a finite resource, they say. On the contrary, the book presents authoritative research currently known mostly in the scientific community that oil is not a product of decaying dinosaurs and prehistoric forests.
And the bottom line is, it says this, the myths of scarcity and the politics of oil. Corsi questions the truism that oil is a fossil fuel. In other words, he's saying, hey, that isn't true. That's the problem. It's bogus. Anyway, the book's called Black Gold Stranglehold. Jerome Corsi does a great job on that. Just wanted to cycle back and get people an answer on that as we're talking with Joel Skousen here, worldaffairsbrief.com. I also want to talk about this Paris shooting. Really, Palestinian statehood fails, too. These are all linked, aren't they?
Well, in general, they are, because they're very much all part of the globalist agenda. What's going on in the Palestinian thing is kind of interesting. You have to understand, why would Abbas have put forth Palestine bid before the new Security Council was installed? You have two other pro-communist. I mean, it got Angola coming into the Security Council, which would have been a slam dunk vote for the Palestinians. It failed by one vote. So why did they put it in beforehand? Well, it turns out to be that there's a tremendous amount of political pressure on Abbas do something dramatic to help, you know, oust Hamas in the Gaza elections. Hamas has lost a lot of credibility because they didn't, run this battle the last time through, and they had accepted a lot of damage in there. So I think there's a lot of internal politics involved in the Palestinian Authority. But as I pointed out in the World Affairs Brief, there's no way that Palestine qualifies for an independent state. This is an international welfare community. They don't have their own electricity. They don't have their own fuel. They don't make enough money in that country to buy anything. This is just a welfare pauper state.
And I find this fascinating. They make this push while we got our eye on the ball for all these other things, right?
That's right. But the U.S. did come out. Remember, the U.S. is a globalist entity. And so we have to ask, why is the U.S. putting the kibosh on Palestinian statehood while at the same time, you know, promoting that? Basically, this is like promoting both sides of everything. The globalists are promoting the war on drugs, and then they import drugs. The war on terror, and they foment terror. They're pro-Palestinian and pro-Israel at the same time. What they really want is more conflict there. And that's why, as I pointed out in the brief, in all the three major wars with Israel and the Arab countries, which the Arab countries started, Israel starts to win it, and the U.S. says, all right, stop right there. And
it almost seems like they want to leave that battle for another day, so it fails, but yet, of course, they'll try again.
That's right, but it always is stronger and stronger every time they try again. And I think what they want, ultimately, is the globalists. They want Israel to reach their Donnybrook, where, you know, it really is too much for them to handle, and call upon where the Israelis will accept international intervention. UN intervention, peacekeeping troops to keep the peace. That's why I think they keep going for conflict. There is no intention to have peace in there. And that's why the U.S., the international community, continues to support Hamas, which is a radical terrorist organization. They continue to import weapons and ammunition through the Egyptian border while claiming that Egypt is stopping this trade. They are not stopping it, you know, whatsoever. And Israel's complicit with that. That's why they released thousands of Palestinian prisoners in exchange for one hostage, you know.
And should they ever need a hot cover-up issue, they can just bring this sucker back off ice and they're ready to go, right?
That's right. That's right.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, before the end of the hour, I kind of want to mention that Utah has one of the best concealed carry permits in the country. You can get it, use your concealed carry like with 36-plus states. It's not as good as a constitutional carry, but hey, don't go to New Jersey, right, Joel?
That's right. Maryland and New Jersey have zero tolerance for any innocent mistakes bringing declared weapons into their states, even if it's legal. And we find out now, and Floridians are up in arms, that Maryland really has been targeting. They have this license plate recognition cameras on their cars, and whenever they see a Florida license plate, they check their database with the feds to find out if the driver has a concealed weapon, and then they go and stop him on a pretext. What they're basically trying to do is harass Floridians that have concealed weapons permits. And now Florida is up in arms saying, how did you guys know that we had a concealed weapon? This is supposed to be, you know, nobody's supposed to be keeping database records on this stuff. Well, the feds are, even though they say they aren't, and they're sharing it with the states like Maryland. Of course, New Jersey is notorious for anyone flying in. You know, you can check a weapon and as baggage, as long as it's unloaded and fly to a destination. But if your airplane gets diverted to New Jersey and you have to pick up that weapon and transfer it and recheck it as baggage, you get arrested and your weapon gets confiscated. I mean, it's just incredible. So these are two states that you want to really avoid. And there are other states like Illinois, Connecticut, and New York that are very, very hostile to our Second Amendment.
Now, we had on Michael Connelly, U.S. Justice Foundation, does a great job last hour, and he wrote a book basically saying, hey, you know what? They're coming for our guns. It's official. In the year 2015 is going to be their big push to quash the Second Amendment. The question becomes, will they disarm the American people? They're going to do it internationally speaking with treaty. They're going to do it by bypassing the feds and looking at every state venue they can to push the buttons, and they're going to push hard to take our guns in 2015.
No, I disagree. Completely disagree. I've seen that out on the net, that thing. There's got to be a war to actually take Americans' guns. I mean, they're going to keep nibbling at the edges where they can, like as they are right now with any type. You have a psychiatrist, you know, you're going to lose your weapon if you go to a psychiatrist. So, but that's not confiscation of weapons.
Yeah, and he's saying that they're going to eventually turn everybody into a mentally ill person with a goal of disarming more and more and more of the population. And it might not be an outright disarmament, but they'll push that envelope as hard as they can.
Yes, agreed.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com. Joel, my friend, Godspeed. We'll talk soon.
Thank you very much.
There he goes, World Affairs Brief, ladies and gentlemen. Trouble on a commentary, or commentary on a troubled world, I should say. Come in your inbox every Friday. Incredible internet news feed about what's happening in Joel's breakdown. Very good. Weekly available now, worldaffairsbrief.com. For Sam and Kurt, we declare we the people. Along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. You're going to help? LibertyRoundtable.com. Hey, thanks.